It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode number 177 of Meat Trapper Radio. I'm coming to you from some unusual circumstances this morning. It is 2:45 a.m. on Saturday, November the 30th. Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I absolutely cannot sleep for some reason. Don't you hate that? It's maddening. Sometimes I can lay down and sleep for 10 straight hours, and then sometimes I simply have no desire to sleep. It's bizarre. But I am I'm having a good time. I am in Hazel Green, Alabama this morning. I came down to do a viewer meetup and instructional video. Had a viewer of my YouTube channel contact me, and he has several hundred acres, and he contacted me and said, you know, I've watched your videos, and I've tried my hand at snaring, and I just can't seem to master it, and the beavers are just, they're laying waste to my property. Can you help me, or can you put me in touch with somebody that can help me? And of course, I love the great state of Alabama and the wonderful people therein. And so it wasn't that long of a drive for me, and I agreed to come down and spend a day setting and showing and instructing and doing a little video. You know, it's always fun. But we'll get up in the morning and do our check, and then we have some really severe weather moving in tomorrow afternoon. So it's a drive down, set the afternoon, get up in the morning, check, pull, and drive home. Pretty intense schedule. But you know, I love doing it, and I just love trapping, and I love being in the swamp. But I got down here, and I got to tell you, the gentleman wasn't lying when he said they had done a number on his property. I've been doing this for 30 years, and this is one of the worst infestations that I have ever seen. And you know, I told him, I said, you're looking at a multi-year project to reclaim your land here. That's how bad it is. But I brought a 5-gallon bucket full of snares, and so I've got my snares out, and not all of them, of course, but did a pretty good job of it. But I want to thank Brian McKee of SouthernSnares.com for sponsoring this broadcast and supplying some of the lures and some of the snares that I'm using. And I have to tell you, I've been using some of the Thompson snares. Brian purchased Thompson Snare Company. And, you know, Thompson snares, they were founded by Raymond Thompson, the father of modern snaring, in 1929. And those snares are 100% American made. I mean, the cable is American. The support collars are made of American neoprene. I'm putting together a video on them, but I'm really impressed by these snares. They are probably the finest quality snares I've ever used, because everything in it is made in America. But there, you know, I won't run on too much about the Thompson snares, but you can watch the video on YouTube when it comes out. But I'm using those. I'm using some of the snares that I make myself, and it's been good. But when I first turned in tonight, I'm parked under a tractor shed. It's open on all four sides. There's a concrete slab, and there's a metal roof over it, because this is a farm, and it's where the tractors and some of the heavy equipment gets parked and worked on and all of that. And so I just pull my truck up on the slab and roll my bedroll out in the bed of the truck and crash out. And that way I don't have to pitch a tent, you know, or anything like that. Just some of the gear that I'm using, if you guys are interested in any of that. When I roll out in the bed of my truck, I have one of these Cabela's foam cot pads. It's the 3-inch thick cot bed, or whatever they call it. The thing's about $100, but it's 3 inches thick, and it rolls up and snaps and all of that. It's a big bulky thing. It's huge. You know, it doesn't compress down or anything. But I've had that Cabela's cot bed for years, and it's as comfortable, if not more comfortable, than my mattress at home. It really is. I love sleeping on that thing. And it fits in the bed of my Ranger perfectly. And it's a mild night tonight. When I first turned in, I guess I was really tired after setting all day. I was out, you know, you're in waders and you're in, you know, slippery mud and soggy mud, and you're sinking up to your knees and past your knees, and you know, it's hard work. You know, it's like I tell people at my demos, beaver trapping is not hard, it's just hard work. So I was pretty tired after I had had supper, had a few beers and turned in, and I slept, I guess, from about 9 p.m. till about 12:30 or so. And the coyotes started up right about 12:30 tonight, man. They were going off, you know. And I love sitting up and listening to those things at night. And tried to get back to sleep, and I was nodded off a few times. I had some deer in the woods right around me. You could hear them, you know, trotting past on a little funnel point here next to the shed. But it seems like it's warmed up as the night has grown on. And I imagine that's because we've got this rain, this warm front moving in, so it's warming up. And it is a cloudy, drippy, dreary 3 a.m. here. Very gray, very damp. You can hear the moisture dripping from the leaves already, very heavy dew. But my little quilt that I use on mild evenings like this, I have given up sleeping bags entirely, and I'm all into quilts now. So I use one. I have several by Arrowhead Equipment. I'm using a 40-degree quilt, and then I have a little Costco down comforter throw that I bought for $20 from Costco that I use as sort of an extra layer on top of it that I can sort of control the warmth, and that works out very well. And overall, I'm really happy with my switch from sleeping bags to quilts. And if you're not familiar with camping quilts, you ought to check them out, because, you know, the principle behind quilts is that once you're in a sleeping bag and you're all zipped up, first of all, I hate that claustrophobic feeling. And second of all, the insulation that you're laying on is crushed, and so it ceases to be of any value to you. So a quilt just says, you know, it's basically, you know, a half a sleeping bag without the zipper. So you save weight, you save space, and all of that. And you get all of the advantages up top without having to get cocooned up in a bag. So anyway, but we're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. The second half of the show is called Brace Yourself. And we're going to be talking about pistol braces. And why, in my opinion, you need to go ahead and get on the boat and get into this. We'll get into the politics of it and all of that. But what I've been doing today is my typical beaver snaring routine. And I've learned I don't use hip boots much anymore. I just go ahead and put the waders on, because sooner or later, when you're out in these swamps and you're snaring beaver, you're going to step off in a trench or step off in a hole or something. And I found, just go ahead and put the waders on. So I rarely wear hip boots anymore unless I know the area and I know that there's no deep water involved. Another advantage that that you have with waiters is the ability to just sit down. And this doesn't sound like much, but over the course of a day, when you put in set after set, and you're leaned over and you're, you know, trying not to slip and slide, you're the pressure on your knees and all of that, and you know, it's good to where there are times when I just want to sit down beside the set or beside the slide and make my set. And it just takes the pressure off my knees and off my back and sort of gives the old bones a rest, you know. So that's one tip that I always tell people is, you know, don't be afraid to throw the waders on. And so it was warm enough today that I was in a short sleeve shirt with waders, you know, so don't worry about that. And I was able to do a little bit with the RBGs, the round body grips. Again, I being in the great state of Alabama where we have a common sense prevails, I was able to put my 440s in, which are the really big RBGs, round body grips. You know, in other states, you walk around holding your breath because you're afraid, you know, the fish cops are going to show up and with their measuring tape and put you in prison for life or something. But you don't have that. You don't have those type of issues down here. And it's just a breath of fresh air. You know, it's a breath of fresh air to be able to go out and enjoy the woods and without fear. And you know, the other thing I keep coming back to this, but you know, standing here looking at the clouds at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's what's on my mind. And you know, I went into town with the landowner and his wife tonight and had dinner. They treated me to dinner for coming down. You know, and that's the first thing is, you know, the people down here, they're good, kind people. And just, you know, you just walking into the Walmart and walking into a restaurant, people will hold the door open for you. If you hold the door open for them, they say thank you. And, you know, where I live now is a base town, a military town. And so the people are from all over the United States, and they're just different. They're not like that. And I love it down here. But anyway, with the RBGs, what I'm doing, I'll try and get back on topic here instead of philosophizing and waxing poetic. But the RBGs, what I'm doing is I have them set up with about 18 inches of number 2 American chain, and I put a couple of swivels in the chain. And then the last swivel that terminates the chain, there's no J-hook. There's only one J-hook in it, not two. And I use stakeizers, which are the rebar stabilizers that are also a stake. And you just slide that that stakeizer through that swivel, that empty swivel. And that attaches the chain to the rebar, and then you put the RBGs on top, and away you go. So I've got some of those set out. And one of the things that's interesting about this property is it's so flooded. The beavers have it so flooded that there really are no, there's not a lot of good sets. In other words, there's not any hot trails or slides or trenches. It's flat ground, and there's just standing water everywhere. And we were out in the side-by-side and a couple of four-wheel drives and all of that. And there are places where you're driving 100 yards through 2 and 3 feet deep water that's supposed to be a road, you know. And so I made a lot of flooded timber sets. And what that is that's where when you don't have a set or a location, you make one. And what I do is I hang a snare on the side of a tree or on the side of a fence post or what have you. And this is in the water where the beavers are swimming. And I put the snare about 2/3 underwater and 1/3 above water. And then what I do is I put a little leaning stick on the other side of the snare and lean it up against the support tree. And that's what I put a little dab of lure on. I put it on the support stick. And the idea is the beaver is going to be swimming around out there at night. And he is he's going to smell that lure, and he's going to circle that tree looking for the source of the lure and get caught in the snare. And the important thing about that set, that flooded timber set, it's a great set. It's one that I show in every demo that I do. But you don't put the lure on the side of the tree. You put the lure on the little leaning stick. And the reason for that is when the beaver gets caught and he starts thrashing around, that stick with the lure on it is going to get knocked down and it's going to float away. And that does two things. Number one, what that does is that doesn't that way the other beavers don't associate that smell, that lure smell, with that beaver being caught, because it's not on the tree where he's tied to. It's on that stick that got pushed off and floated on down the creek. And the other thing, it doesn't give him much of an opportunity to get that castor lure on his pelt. And the reason that that's important is that's one of the ways that beaver identify each other, is by the individual castor smell. And when you introduce a beaver lure into an area, the beaver come and investigate it because it's a strange castor smell. It's sort of a, who is this? Who's the intruder? Well, if you rub the lure on the tree, that beaver's gonna be rubbing up against that tree throughout the night, and he's gonna get that castor lure on his fur, on his pelt. And when other beavers come to investigate, they're gonna identify him as the intruder, and they're going to cut him to ribbons. And that happens a lot. So anyway, that's just a little tip on the what I call the flooded timber stick. Other people call it a beaver on a stick, or what have you, but it's all the same thing. And you'll be able to see the set in this video, and I've got it in a lot of other videos on my channel. But the other set that I'm using is there's a lot of these little ponds and stuff that are on this property. There's creeks on one side and a pond on the other, and so there's just trails everywhere where the beaver are coming up out of the water and crossing from one body of water to the next. And what I'm doing there is I'm taking let's say the dry crossover part from body of water one to body of water two is, 15 feet. What I'll do is I'll put a snare at one end and a snare at the other end, and then I'll just put a little dab of lure on a stick and put it right in the middle between the two snares, right in the trail. And the idea being, the beaver, coming out of one body of water will come up out of the water onto that trail on their normal crossover, and they'll smell the lure, go to investigate the lure, and get caught. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, the best beaver lure out there is another beaver. And so once, if I can catch that first beaver in a snare, that's why I'm always gang setting, or at least double setting. My motto is, if it's good enough for one set, it's good enough for two. And so that beaver's out there swimming around, and the others are going to come to investigate. And I've still got another snare in operation there. So, always keep that in mind, that if it's good enough for one, it's good enough for two. And there is nothing wrong with gang setting. I can remember one time, and this has been many years, but there was a narrow ditch that was leading from a lake to basically a creek that fed into a river. And this ditch was, I mean, it was a perfect beaver channel sized ditch. I mean, it was tailor-made to drop a 330 right into it. And I guess this thing was 40 or 50 yards long. And I didn't know any better. I was pretty new and green, and I just decided to go down this ditch and just put snare after snare in it, So I put one about every 10 yards. I think I had five snares in that ditch. And I came back the next morning and got to the first set. And lo and behold, there was a beaver in that snare. And I was like, yes. And so, well, I need to go down and pull these other sets. And I got to the second snare, and there was another beaver in that second snare. I was like, wow, a double, man. And I went, and there were four beavers in that one channel that night that I'd caught. I put five snares out and I caught four beavers, and that's all it was. It was the entire colony coming down through there, and every one after the other, got caught, you know, and so it worked like a charm. That was a quadruple on one area. I've never done that since. But and you know, the funny thing is the landowner, you know, after we finished setting and everything, he said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "I think he said, "I think we're gonna knock them out in the morning." And I said, "Brother, I've learned not to predict that." I said, "I've been in areas that look like this that are just littered with beaver, and I have put out set after set after set, and you know, the whole nine yards, and I've come back the next morning and I haven't caught a damn thing." You know, I have been absolutely stupefied that I didn't catch anything. And then I've been places where I didn't think there was much going on, and you know, I've filled the truck up with them. You just, you know, you never know. And I think that's one thing that that keeps bringing me back. Just another couple of pieces of gear that I'd like to mention. I've had a pair of shoes that I kind of bought on a whim that I have found that I use over and over and over, and I really like them. The brand is these are little rubber shoes. They market them as fishing shoes for some reason, but these are slip-on ankle rubber boots. Okay, something if that helps paint a picture. And the brand is Extra Tough, Xtratuf. And these little boots, they're as comfortable, they're as comfortable without socks as they are with socks. And like I say, these are marketed as fishing shoes. You slip them on, you're walking around your boat or whatever. They've got good, you know, wet traction. You know, the soles on the bottom are like non-slip soles for use on a fishing boat or what have you. They're pretty interesting in that they don't fit tight around the ankle. They're open, and that allows your foot to ventilate. Every time you take a step, it sort of pumps air in and out. So what I find is you don't get nearly as clammy or perspiration soaked wearing these little shoes as you do with, you know, say muck boots or knee-high rubber boots. Of course, these are only ankle high, but being slip on and slip off, I find myself using these constantly. Like I'm walking around in them right now. It's 3:00 in the morning. It's sort of damp and dewy out here in the weeds. You can roll out of your sleeping quilt, not a sleeping bag that I'm not using, but just roll out of the bed of the truck and just slide your feet right in them and off you go to answer nature's call or to go out and stroll around a little bit and stretch your legs. And you don't have to worry about getting your feet wet. You don't have to worry about tying or untying boots. I slip them on every morning to take my dogs out first thing in the morning. They seem to handle the cold real well. They stay very flexible in the cold. And they've even got little reflective tabs on the front, the back. The pull tabs where you pull them on are made out of reflective material. So if you're out walking the dog or, you know, what have you, I slip them on to go walk the dogs at night. And it's just a little bit of a safety measure there. But I just thought I'd mention them because I've had these Extra Toughs for over a year now, and I've had zero issues with them. No cracking. I've worn them in the woods. I've worn them through the briars. And what was interesting is I had a pair of muck boots that I wore out into the woods, and I stepped on some thorns the first time I wore them in the woods, and those thorns slice the rubber on the muck boots wide open. I had to return them. And there's been evidently they've sort of cheapened on how thick and durable the rubber is on some of the models of the muck boots. But I haven't had any problems with these Extra Toughs. So if you're thinking about a little pair of slip-on booties, little rubber shoes, look them up, Extra Tough. They've served me very well. And as soon as these develop a hole or what have you, I'm going to buy another pair. And one last thing before we get into the second half of tonight's show, I'm going to, when I try and review a product, I don't just, do an unboxing. I think that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Somebody orders a $300 custom-made knife and they film themselves opening the box. I mean, who gives a crap? But so I try and put a little time on things before I review them or comment on them. And I've been using a Coon Light, a bump cap Coon Light made by Big Dog Lights. And the light that I'm using is not a dedicated Coon Light. It's more of a general purpose light, and I want to talk a little bit about it because I'm really enjoying it. It's their Micro Light, and what this thing is, the reason I went to this light is because I found myself trying, when I try and prepare for a trip, I ended up packing multiple lights. I'd have a Q-beam type spotlight, a rechargeable spotlight, and I would have that in the truck, or I'd have it in my kayak, because there are times when I need to reach out and have a bright light that'll carry a long way. Let's say I'm checking traps at night or in the dark. I need to be able to shine down in a ditch and see if there's anything in a snare. Let's say I'm in a kayak and I'm out at night fishing. I need to, let's say I'm camped on the bank, or I have to turn up into a creek or a channel. And at night, it's completely different looking. And so I need to be able to turn a bright light on and shine out a good distance and have good vision out at a long distance to spot maybe where my campsite is on the bank, where maybe the creek is. Because when you're paddling and you're paddling at night, if you miss a turn, you can paddle a long way before you finally realize, hey, I've missed that turn. Then you got to turn around and paddle all the way back, And one little trick, just a little tip, is I will often hang reflective markers at turns, and that way that way I can spot them from me a great distance, But then let's say I'm in my kayak and I'm night fishing. Well, most of the time I need a dim light to illuminate the cockpit of my kayak. Maybe I'm changing lures, different things like that. So I don't need a spotlight to change fishing lures. I just need a dim diffuse light that hopefully will save my night vision, a red light. So I've got different requirements right there. And over time, what I found is, you're carrying a spotlight, you're carrying a flashlight, you're carrying a headlamp, you got a red light, you got a white light, and despite my best efforts to standardize on batteries, I tried this, everything's going to use a AA. That worked okay until we got into all of the new LEDs that are super bright, and they're using these 18650 batteries or the CR123 batteries. And it just, I ended up having a number of different lights with a number of different power sources. And I hate that kind of crap. I hate that clutter. And so I took a look at the Micro Light by Big Dog Lights. And what this is, it's mounted on a bump cap. Now, if you're not familiar with a bump cap, it's like a scaled-down hard hat. In other words, it's a plastic safety-type hard hat, and it has the liner in it, the plastic liner, the suspension, or what have you. And it's not a tried-and-true hard hat. It's not rated for somebody to drop a cinder block on your head from the Empire State Building or anything like that. It's a bump cap. It's designed to protect your head if you bump it on something, like if you were under your house working, and how many times we hit our head on something and it hurts like hell. But this is just a little bump cap. And the reason that I went with a bump cap rather than a soft baseball style cap is simply because of the rigidity of being able to mount the light and not have the light sag around on fabric. Now the head on this Micro Light, it's a It's an LED light, and it has both white and red LEDs. And so it's a little bitty light. The whole thing, the whole hat, the whole unit weighs about a half a pound, so it's very lightweight. And you have five positions on the light. You have back one and back two, and that's where you rotate the switch on the battery pack. Backwards one click, and that's low red. Backwards two clicks is high red. And then forward one is low white, forward two is medium white, and forward three is bright white. And the battery pack is a small pack, and it is much smaller than the palm of your hand. And it is riveted to the back of the hat. And then there's a heavy-duty cord that runs from the battery pack right across the top of the hat to the head, which is mounted. And everything is aluminum or stainless steel. The quality of construction is really good. The hat was, I think it was about $175. And the one thing in dealing with Big Dog, he's a regular guy. He works a job. And he was recently injured, and he lost three fingers, and that has really slowed down his construction, his build time on his lights. And from the time I ordered to the time I got my light was about 3 weeks. And I don't have a problem with that, but it would have been, you know, it would have been nice to receive an email and just say, hey, thank you for your order. We're looking at about a 3 week to 4 week lead time on this. I build each light individually per order, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so just be aware of that this is not something that gets pulled off a shelf, dropped in a box at an Amazon warehouse and shipped to you. This is something that is built. Now, I'm not going to divulge any secrets or anything, but I did disassemble the light after I had been using it for a while, and I can vouch that the components that it's built from are top quality. Looking at the switches, the brand of the switches, looking at the construction that went into it, the craftsmanship that went into it, there's no cheap Chinese junk in it. The guy, when he sourced his components, he sourced them well, and he went with stuff that in some cases is, you know, mil-spec type switches and stuff like that. So it should stand up. But the reason I mention this is I find myself using this cap all the time, this light all the time. It sort of solves that multiple light problem in that if I'm in my kayak, I can put this put this hat on, and 99% of the time, I've got this low red beam that I can angle down and, you know, paddle, see stuff in front of me, save my night vision and everything, and it burns for hours and hours and hours. And then if I need to look out in the distance, if I need to look up on the bank or look for a creek or a channel, all I have to do is just reach up to the top of my hat, click this switch forward, and I've got a super bright spotlight beam, you know, that I can use. And there are headlamps that you could buy that sort of mimic this. But what I find is with this setup and the switch mounted on the back, I can duck and cut through the woods, and I don't have to worry about my hat getting caught by briars and ripped off my head or anything like that. It's just very intuitive. It's very very compact. Very lightweight, and if you're in the market or you find yourself in light chaos or flashlight chaos, some might be something that you want to check into. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the second half of tonight's show. If you are a Patreon supporter, we're going to talk about pistol braces and why you need to jump on this bandwagon before it goes away. And if you're not a Patreon supporter, I would like to encourage you to become one. You can go to patreon.com/meattrapper and get signed up. You get access to over 160 plus back episodes of Meat Trapper Radio. You get access to a lot of bonus content, the Resistance Trapping series, a lot of books, a lot of movies, stuff that you can't find anywhere else. And you know, the main thing is you get to support the ongoing work of this channel, and you get to become a part of a group of superior individuals that are constantly helping each other. You know, I love it when one of the Patreon members contacts me and says, "Hey, I've got some extra traps, or I've got some this, or some DVDs that I don't need anymore. You know, I want to donate them to somebody who could use them." And there's a lot of that stuff that goes on because it's just a great community of people, and I appreciate each and every one of them.